Today I want to talk a little bit about this understanding of the word for today, which is rejoice. The Sunday is called Gaudete, which just is the Latin word. It means the same thing, rejoice. And of course, the Bible is written, at least the New Testament is written in Greek. And I want to talk a little bit about the concept of joy and rejoicing. Because if we're not careful, we can kind of say, okay, I don't feel like rejoicing. As if to think that what the church and what the scriptures are telling us to do today is just sort of let's all get stirred up and let's just be happy. Or maybe take a few drinks. And that's not what the Bible is talking about here. And in calling us to rejoice, I hope you understand, especially those who are a little older, that the church is after something a little deeper than just what we might call emotional and surface joy, but rather a deep and an abiding joy that's deeply rooted in us. Now, the Greek word that today's reading starts out like this. It says, rejoice always. I'm preaching out of the second reading from the letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter in the fifth chapter, and it begins, rejoice always. Oh, do I have to? Some people, sometimes we get weighed down with things, don't we? Maybe someone here is struggling with something. Maybe you're just physically tired, worn out. And so when we hear this expression, rejoice always, what is really being taught to us? Now, your pastor checked out the Greek text. I went to the Greek, and then I went to the Greek dictionary. Now, the Greek for today is chairete, and it means, again, rejoice, but I checked out the Greek dictionary because this word chairete, by the way, try that, young people, chairete. Okay, chairete or chairete means rejoice. You just spoke Greek. So next time someone says, that's Greek to me? Now, it's rooted in another Greek word, charis, meaning grace. Grace. So the Greek dictionary speaks of chairete as a kind of, let me just read what I wrote for out of the dictionary. This word asks more of us than simple emotional fervor, but rather and more richly, it invites us to become joyfully aware of God's grace and favor to us, to consider the magnificent and unmerited gift of God's love and favor, and thereby experience a kind of stable and deeply rooted joy based in this abiding knowledge and experience of God's love for us. Now, again, just to say it again a little more simply, this joy that we're called to have is a deep and an abiding experience that God loves us, that God is good to us, that God is providing for us, and that God wants to save us. Are you praying with me? You see, when we begin to really get in touch with the fact that God is good to me, God is full of grace and mercy, and God will take care of me, now I begin to have a kind of a serene and deeply rooted joy. And this joy the world didn't give and the world can't take away. We may sometimes, all of us, have things that happen, whether in our day or in our life, that cause us grief or sorrow or anxiety. But as we grow in our faith, and I can just say this is happening for me, that there's a deeper part of me, a kind of an abiding joy and serenity that even when there's storms on the surface, I can still get back in touch with it. I can still say, I know this is going to be all right. I may not like what I'm going through right now, but it'll be just fine. God's going to take care of this. And to just be able to rejoice and relax and have serene joy with God. Anyone praying with me on that? Too easily, we let this world try to rob us of that joy. But the gift that God wants to give us is a deep and an abiding joy that doesn't just go away and vanish in an instant just because I heard some bad news. Are you praying with me? Ask this gift of God. The church today, in shouting out, Gaudete, Kairete, is saying, rejoice, call on God for this gift of an abiding joy that the world doesn't give and the world can't take away. Excuse me. All right. Now, but the reading today from Thessalonians does more than just say, all right, everybody rejoice and have a nice day and we'll talk to you later. As you can imagine, this word gives us a little bit more than that. And it talks about some ways that we can, some patterns in our life that we can cultivate that will help us to have this deep and abiding joy. And so the first thing the text says to us is, you want to be able to rejoice always? How many of you want to be able to do that? How many of you want to have a joy that the world didn't give and the world can't take away? Well, St. Paul goes on to talk to us about some of the ways that we can do or build up this gift of God. The first gift, or the first way, is to persevere in praise. To persevere in praise. The text says, not only rejoice always, but then it goes on to say, pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances, give thanks, and do not quench the Spirit. Now, let's start with thanksgiving. Because one of the ways that we're going to get this deep and an abiding joy is to cultivate in our life a gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, a thanksgiving. And thanksgiving, God does not command us to give thanks because he has a big ego and wants to be thanked. God tells us to be grateful for our sake. Now here's how it works. We tend to be a little negative. We just do. We're always going to find the thing that's wrong and talk about it incessantly. And there's 10,000 things that are right, but we're going to focus on the one thing that's wrong. All right. Amen? Now listen, what gratitude does is it's a way of disciplining our mind so that we begin to see reality. And here's reality. Every day, 10 trillion things go right, and about a half a dozen things go wrong. Now you say, well, he's just exaggerating. 10 trillion things. I'm not exaggerating. I am not exaggerating. You think of every cell in your body and all the things that are necessary to have it function correctly. And you start to think not only of your body, but you start to think of this world in which we live and all the things that have to go right, all the things that, whether it's the ecosystem or even just the traffic patterns, all the things that have to go right for my day to continue on its pace. Amen? And then not just this world, not just my body, not just this world, but even the whole solar system and the entire universe, all in a delicate balance so that we can have life and have it abundantly. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that every day 10 trillion things go right. That's reality. About a half a dozen things go wrong. And by the way, sometimes serious things go wrong. But don't forget, that does not mean that those 10 trillion things aren't still going right. Now, what gratitude is God says, get in touch with reality. I am pouring out blessings on you that you don't even know about. I am taking care of details you've never even heard of. I am blessing you abundantly at every day and every moment. How many of you know that God is blessing you abundantly? And you know what? The Bible says that even the things that go wrong, somehow they can be blessings in disguise. All things work together for good for those who love and trust God. Not just the good things, even the bad things, somehow God permits. gratitude. At the end of the day, are you grateful to God? You know, when I was a young child, I was taught to examine my conscience, and I was taught to consider my sins at the end of the day. And that's a good thing. But you know what? We ought to also discipline our minds to say, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for everything that went right today. Not everything went the way I planned, and not everything was perfect, but Lord, you did so much for me today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been good to me. You poured out blessings, and I didn't even know you were doing them, but I say thank you, Lord. Thank you. And you see, what starts to happen to us when we cultivate gratitude is that we begin to become joyful, we begin to become confident, we begin to become serene. Because, you know, it's a way of disciplining our mind to say, you know, God is blessing me right now. The Lord, he's blessing me right now. He's being good to me. And if he's been good to me, he's going to keep being good for me. And as he's come through for me, he's going to keep coming through for me. It may not always go the way I want it, but in the end, God will see me through. And you see what begins to happen to us. And that's one of the ways that we can begin to rejoice always. Because if we're grateful, we begin to become more confident, more hopeful, more joyful, and more serene. It will be all right. Whatever you're going through, it will be all right. And you see, that's the vision. And that's one of the ways that the scripture here tells us. It doesn't just say, rejoice. It says, here's one of the ways you can begin to build up a way of thinking that helps you to be more rejoicing. And that is, first of all, gratitude. The text says, in all circumstances, give thanks. Now, the text goes on to say, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean stay in church all day. Even though you might think Father Pope wants you to stay in church all day, it doesn't mean stay in church all day. It means lay hold of the normal Christian life, which is to be in living, conscious contact with God all throughout the day. You know, there's an awful lot of folks that if they pray at all, they pray in the morning and they pray in the evening, and in between, they never think of God. You know, that's one of the dangers, isn't it? But church, lay hold of the gift that the Spirit wants to give you. The normal Christian life is to be powerfully aware of God all throughout the day, in the beauty of creation, in the beauty of people who come to us, even people who pester us. Sometimes in the sick and the suffering and in the difficult, the Lord is still speaking to us, reaching out to us and helping us to grow. And the more powerfully aware you are of God at every day, once again, we become more serene, we become more confident, we become more aware of God's goodness and of his grace at every moment. When we can just kind of catch our breath in a moment of tension and be in touch with God, how many of you know that's a good thing? See, what the devil wants to do is to get us all focused on this tension. And every now and again, God just says, take a breath, look up, it's going to be all right. So you see, the text is already teaching us, isn't it, that there are important things to cultivate in our life. We should cultivate gratitude and cultivate an increasing awareness of God's presence. And if we can let the Holy Spirit do that for us, we will be able more and more to rejoice always, to be full of joy, and to have a deep and an abiding joy in our life. Now, the text also goes on to say something else. Not only should we persevere in our praise, but we should also, it says, gain some perspective through prophecy. The text says, do not despise prophetic utterances. Test everything, but retain what is good. Now, what are prophetic utterances? At the heart of a prophetic utterance is, first of all, God's word. When we say, what do we mean by prophetic utterance? First of all, it's the scriptures, amen? And listen, If you and I, and I'm going to just say I'm a witness. I have been reading the Bible every day of my life for the last 27 years. Through the liturgy of the hours and preparing sermons and talks, I have been reading God's Word every day of my life for 27 years. And I want you to know something. It is giving me a vision. It's giving me a serenity. It's giving me a confidence. It's helping me to know my story, that there are times where the cross is big in life, but Jesus triumphed over the cross. I know about Good Friday, but I also know about Easter Sunday because I'm deeply rooted in God's Word, that what we call the Paschal mystery, that we're suffering but we're also dying, but we're also rising and ascending with the Lord. I know the story. The great, great stories that we tell in the Bible, that there are times of affliction, but God has a way of delivering His people. That God can make a way out of no way. That God is able to deliver us from every disturbance. That troubles do not last always. In 3 days, I'll rise. Whatever it is, in 3 days, I will rise. That's what the Word of God has done for me. It's made me a man of hope, of joy, and I begin to see things with proper priorities, and I don't get all worked up over the stuff that the world says I should get worked up over. You know, the world's always trying to get us all worked up and anxious and busy about stuff that really doesn't matter in the end. And the Bible has helped me to say, you know, that's not all that important. Let me give you an example. You know, just about every advertisement you see basically has this message. You are pathetic. You're pathetic. You're not tall enough. You're not handsome enough. You're not rich enough. You don't drink the right beer. You don't drive the right kind of car. You don't live in the right kind of neighborhood. You're too dark or you're too white. You're not tan. You're too dark. And you know what your biggest problem is? You're getting old. And being old is pathetic. You need to look like you're 28. You got to color your hair. You got to lose some weight. And if that doesn't work, come to our plastic surgery special deal, $200 special deal. You see the vision? But the basic message is always the same. You are pathetic. And we can make you less pathetic if you will send $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the world wants to get you all worked up if you're doing something normal, which is called growing older. You know, our culture is very youth-oriented. Now, pardon me, young people. But you know, most cultures until recently were very elder-oriented. Elders were held up. They were reverenced, and they were respected. They had seen many years, and gray hair was a sign of dignity. A sign of glory, a sign of wisdom. But since we've become very visual with TV and stuff, now we've flipped it all over. There is nothing wrong with getting old. In fact, it's something very right about getting old. A, it's natural. And B, it is a sign of growing wisdom and growing intelligence and growing just getting closer to God. I don't say that everybody who reaches a certain chronological age is all those things automatically, but we ought to hold up age and reverence our elders. Amen? Amen. And that's what the Bible says. And to the message that you are pathetic, you're not pathetic. You're a child of God. God loves you. God created you. And God is taking care. And if there are struggles in your life, He'll do it. It's not $19.95 plus shipping and handling. God's going to work something better and something deeper than just cosmetics. God will do it. Now you see, but the world wants us anxious and worried, and people don't like me because I'm not tall enough, thin enough, I'm not this, I'm not that. Skip it. Just skip it. And young people, you're not free of that. You got a lot of peer pressure on you. A lot of folks telling you, you got to dress like this, you got to walk like that, you got to get pierced and tattooed, and you got to do all this. You don't have to do any of that stuff. Are you praying with me? You need to get in touch with God and say, who is the man or the woman you want me to be? You don't got to be like some dude on TV. That isn't right. You have to be the man or the woman God made you to be. Now, that's why this text is saying to us, if you want to be able to rejoice always, do not despise prophetic utterance. First of all, Scripture. Scripture can put you in touch with what really matters. The world wants you all worked up and anxious and preoccupied and busy about stuff that really doesn't matter. And how are you going to rejoice if you're worried constantly about what people think of you? How are you going to do that? Go to God's Word and let Him tell you your glory and your dignity. Brothers and sisters, whatever those advertisers are saying, by the way, I'm not against advertisers. They have good products for us that we can make use of. Amen? But I'm just going to say to you, the basic message of the world is you're pathetic. No, let it finally dawn on you that the Son of God died for you. Let that finally dawn on you, and you're not going to worry about getting old or fat or whatever, bald. Don't worry about all that stuff. Let it finally dawn on you that the Son of God died for you, and God's going to put a joy in your heart that the world didn't give you and the world can't take away. And that comes from the prophetic utterance of Scripture, which says, my Son Jesus Christ came, suffered, and died for you, and rose, and is preparing a place in heaven for you. He is calling your name right now. That is your dignity. That is what gives you worth. Focus on that, and you will begin to have a joy that the world cannot take away. And the final thing that the Scripture says to us today simply is this, in terms of these prophetic utterances. And I'm going to say this especially to young people. Prophetic utterances are not just the Scripture, because the text says test everything and cling to what's good. Now, prophetic utterances are also the many holy men and women who have really meditated on God's Word and have proclaimed it to us. Now, the church is 2,000 years old. You see up on these walls? You see those saints? They have some important things to teach you, to teach all of us. I hope, brothers and sisters, you spend a little time getting to know the lives of some of the saints. You may not want to read about all the saints, but you may have a certain saint you've heard of. Go out, buy a book, study their life. Look what God did in their life, and rejoice. Likewise, even if we don't know saints who lived hundreds of years ago, you have some holy men and women in your life that you know. So do I. There are some very holy and good priests that I still turn to. Older priests, wise. I learn from them. I study with them. They teach me. They show me the way. I reverence the example that some of these priests have been to me. One of them in particular, Father Francis Martin, a great teacher of mine, has really brought alive the sense of God in my life. I hope you all have some older folks, maybe they're even younger, but someone you know who is in touch with God and can preach and proclaim a word to you that you desperately need to hear. Do not despise prophetic utterances. If someone can help you to get in touch with God, listen, learn, and love what they have to say to you. Make sure it says, test everything. Make sure it squares with God's Word. But again, in the end, once you've tested it, you know it's of God, and the person is trustworthy, open your heart to learn, and young people especially. You know, one of the illusions of being young is you think you know a few things. And you do know a few things, a very few things. There are many elders, many people, teachers, parents, priests, religious, who have important things to teach you about God. Don't despise prophetic utterance. Listen carefully when your parents call you to do what you know is right. Listen carefully. But I promise you, brothers and sisters, that if we will root ourselves more deeply in the Word of God, we will become more joyful. I am a witness. I have studied the Word of God and studied with holy teachers now for over 27 years of my life. And I want you to know something. It's changing my life. It's making me more joyful, more serene, more confident, more excited. I am thrilled with what God is doing for me. I'm thrilled with what He's doing through me. I am thrilled to know God. And I know Him from Scripture. I know Him from praying every day. I know Him from being grateful every day. And this gives me a joy. So today, we heard the commandment, rejoice always. You might say, how am I going to do that? One of the ways you're going to do it, you're going to begin to lay hold of some of the things the Spirit wants to lead you in. You're going to be more dedicated to being grateful every day, to getting in touch with reality, that every day, 10 trillion things go right. A few things go wrong. But get in touch with reality. Be so grateful to God, and you'll be able to rejoice more. Likewise, get in touch with God. Try to stay in touch with Him. Ask the Spirit to give you the normal Christian life of being in living, conscious contact with God at every moment of your day. And dedicate yourself to studying the prophetic utterance of Scripture and of the prophetic utterances of men and women you come to find know God's Word and are in touch with God and know the Lord and can teach you. And I promise you, if you begin to get in touch with gratitude, with God's presence, with His Word, and with holy men and women who help you, I promise you, there's a deep joy that begins to set up inside of you. And whatever turbulence the world gives, there's that deeper place where you can go because God is real and you can rejoice always. I am mindful of that old Kirk Franklin song. Just says joy, joy. God's great joy, joy, joy deep in my soul. Joy, joy, soul-saving joy. God's great joy deep in my heart. That's the gift to ask for, church. Ask it of God. God, give me that deep, amazing, soul-saving joy deep in my soul. Amen.